This is the second session in study number 17 in our series of studies in the book of Revelation. And if you were with us last time, you'll recall that we started with an exercise in discerning truth from error, reality from what's counterfeit in relation to artificial intelligence today, which creates, among other things, graphics that are counterfeits of reality. And we had a little exercise where we compared AI-created scenes or animals and compared them with a similar real photo. And we found that in some cases it was difficult to tell the difference. Well, in Revelation 13, we have the high point in Satan's counterfeiting of God's plan for human beings, the revelation here of the beast who comes out of the sea. And we also emphasize that this beast sometimes appears to be an entity, an empire, and sometimes he appears to be a human being. This is part of the allegory, and we saw an extended allegory in chapter 12 with the woman and the dragon. Now we have more allegory with the beast representing an empire and a human being. We also saw that the New English translation, the NET Bible, gave a very good translation with relation to the difference between the beast as an empire and the beast as an individual. And then we began to read passages that are connected with Revelation chapter 13 and the beast, going back first of all to Daniel chapter 9, where we have the revelation of a world ruler who would come at the beginning of a time of difficulty for Israel, or a time where God would be, in a sense, wrapping up his relations with Jews as they are persecuted, particularly in the last 3.5 years, and 1/3 of Jews living at that time will come to Christ. So we want to continue, if you have your notes, to look at two more relevant passages. We will not look at Daniel chapter 2, but recall that as depicted on this graphic that I've suggested that you use, that it's the end of your notes, this statue that consists of, you will recall from our studies in Daniel, four parts, a head of gold representing Nebuchadnezzar, and recall that Daniel says, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold, you meaning you as a person, but the head also represents a kingdom. This is the same thing with the beast. The beast is a kingdom or empire and at the same time an individual. And then that statue has his chest is silver, representing the Medo-Persian Empire, today's Iran. The third part represents Greece. And then the fourth part, his legs and his feet, we concluded in our study of Daniel and can assert quite with a great deal of assurance that this is the Roman Empire. So Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome in this four-part statue. So let's look at now at Daniel chapter 7, where the four-part statue in chapter 2 appears as four animals. Again, the parts of the statue can be compared to the beast. They correspond to parts of the beasts that appear in Daniel chapter 7. The head corresponds to one beast, the chest to another beast, the midsection to a third beast, and the legs and feet to a fourth beast. So here is Daniel chapter 7, verses 2 through verse 7. Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle." So the lion corresponds to the head of the statue, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian kingdom. "I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, so that it stood on 2 feet like a human being. And the mind of a human was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear." That corresponds to Medo-Persia in the statue. So, two animals so far, two beasts, a lion corresponding to Babylon, the bear corresponding to the Medo-Persian section of the statue. And verse 6, "After that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard," leopard representing speed, and that is associated with the third part of the statue, which would have been Greece. And that references historically the speed with which Alexander the Great in the latter part of the 4th century BC conquered for Macedonia land all the way to India. "He was terrifying, this beast, and frightening and very powerful." That's the fourth one, I'm sorry. The third one is like a leopard. "On its back it had four wings like those of a bird. Beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule." Now verse 7, "After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast," corresponding to the lowest part of your statue. "He was terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth." Again, in Daniel chapter 2, the fourth part of the statue is made of iron and clay. This fourth beast, again, is associated with iron. He has large iron teeth. "It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a human being and a mouth that spoke boastfully." That would be the little horn. So if you're looking at that graphic, the four animals are represented there, corresponding to the parts of the statue: a lion, a bear, a leopard, and with many heads, several heads, and finally the beast at the bottom of your chart that has 10 horns, and a little horn comes up in the middle of them and displaces 3 horns, and 7 are left, and he remains, of course, also. Now we also need to see the information about the beast that's provided in Revelation 17. And so here is the text of that, and if you have the notes, I've highlighted the most relevant portions of Revelation 17. So starting with verse 1, and we'll read a few verses and then skip to verse 9. "Then one of the 7 angels who had the 7 bowls and spoke to me, then one of the 7 angels who had the 7 bowls came and spoke to me. 'Come,' he said, 'I will show you the condemnation and punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed sexual immorality, and the earth's inhabitants got drunk with the wine of her immorality. So he carried me away in the spirit to a wilderness, and there I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names and had 7 heads and 10 horns." So here this woman, whoever she is sitting on the beast who is disclosed in chapter 13. Now skip to verse 9, where the text says, this requires a mind that has wisdom. This is telling us that these are difficult things to interpret, and you need spiritual wisdom to come up with the right understanding here. The text goes on, verse 9 of Revelation 17. The seven heads are seven mountains the woman sits on. They are also seven kings. The connection between the mountains and the kings is difficult to understand because the text simply says, there are also seven kings. Now the NIV has read it, has interpreted it, they are also seven kings. But essentially says seven kings exist, something like that. How are they connected to the mountains? That's a difficult question. So out of the seven heads, we're told in verse 10 that five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. Now I believe this is in relation to the time of John's life and John's writing this. So five of the heads would have been, five of the seven kings would have been gone already by John's time. One existed at John's time, and the other was still to come after John's time, the seventh. But whenever he does come, he must remain for only a brief time. The beast that was and is not is himself an eighth king, and yet is one of the seven. I take that to mean that he is spiritually like the other seven. And he's going to destruction. The ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom. Now this is the text that tells us the most about the ten kings, the ten horns. They are ten kings who haven't yet received a kingdom, so they are after the time of the Apostle John, but they will receive ruling authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These kings have a single intent, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. They will make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb will conquer them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those accompanying the Lamb are the called, chosen, and faithful. So next I have a table for you, which you should use the graphic, the last page in your notes, use that graphic with this table. And there are parts of that graphic that I have not mentioned that are for another time, but it helps to see this graphic, helps us to understand the parts of this table that center on the beast. So here is a comparison of four passages that explain the beast out of the sea in Revelation 13. First of all, Daniel chapter 2 and the statue. We did not read that today. And then Daniel chapter 7, where there are four beasts that correspond to the four parts of the statue. Revelation 13, which has two beasts, and we're concerned today in this study with the first beast. And then finally, Revelation chapter 17, where we have the beast once again with the woman riding on the beast. This is in part a lesson in scripture, interpreting scripture. So if we had only Daniel chapter 2 in the statue and the statue, we might be very puzzled. Daniel chapter 7 adds information. Revelation 13 adds even more information about the same topic. And then Revelation 17 gives us information that we don't have anywhere else about the kings and who is ruling with the beast. So let's remind ourselves of the parts of the statue in Daniel 7 as I have mentioned in this table. In this statue represents four Gentile kingdoms during and after the 6th century BC, starting with Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. He is the gold head in the statue. Medo-Persia is the silver chest. Greece is the bronze thighs. And then go down and skip that next session on the section on the tables. And at the bottom of the statue, we have legs that are iron and clay mixed together, which according to Daniel chapter 7 and chapter 2 will be destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the beasts in this column referencing Daniel chapter 7. And again, the four beasts correspond to the four parts of the statue, and they give us a little more information than the statue did. So we have the first beast is like a lion, would correspond to Babylon. The second part is like a bear, corresponds to Medo-Persia. Third part is like a leopard. The third beast is like a leopard, again referencing the speed of Alexander the Great's conquest of the Mediterranean world and toward the east. Skip that middle section, and we have this beast is called a different kind of beast. The fourth one, I saw a fourth beast, he was different from the others. He had iron teeth and bronze claws. Iron teeth, again, corresponding to the iron in the statue. He had human eyes, and I believe that suggests something to us about the human interpretation of the beast out of the sea in Revelation 13. He rules 3.5 years. He is overcome by the Ancient of Days, and we know that the kingdom will start after that. Now let's turn to Revelation 17 and skip 13. We'll come back to that. So the column concerning Revelation 17, where the beast is carrying the woman, we do not have lion, bear, leopard references there, or gold or silver or bronze. No references in Revelation 17, but what we do have is details on the horns. So let's look at this middle row in the chart with regard to the horn details that chapter 17 tells us the most about. A horn means in scripture ruling authority or a ruler, presumably from the idea that the horns of a large animal were the point at which the animal applied his power to his enemies. And so speaking of the horns of an animal would speak of power and authority and control over enemies. So the horns in Daniel chapter 7 on that fourth beast, there are 10 horns, plus a little horn, so there are actually 11 horns. He uproots 3, leaving 7. The horns are kings, and the horns here must be the same as the kings of Revelation 17. In Revelation 13, we simply have the mentioning of 10 horns, 7 heads, and 10 crowns on the horns. But we go to Revelation 17 to find the most in terms of interpretation of the horns, where the text says the 10 horns are kings who rule with the beast. So now we know what those 10 horns are that we might have been puzzled about when we saw the fourth beast in Daniel chapter 7. The beast also has, in Revelation 17, 7 heads. He's associated with seven mountains and seven kings, and the beast is an eighth. It must be Daniel's little horn, and we have seven rulers that must come in a historical succession. Seven plus the beast make eight altogether. Now let's turn back to go back to the column in Revelation 13, where we can put this all together as we come to the latter stages of the statue, the fourth beast of Daniel chapter 7, and the beast out of the sea. In Revelation chapter 13, the three animals of Daniel 7 are combined into one beast, showing Gentile kingdom continuity. The beast is the world ruler to come and his empire. So three animals. This, what he sees, is somewhat like a lion, looks like a bear, like a leopard, and on top of that, he is viewed as a whole beast. He is then the world ruler to come and the world ruler's empire. He embodies the qualities of the three previous beasts of Daniel, which correspond to the parts of the statue. A statue of gold head, silver chest, bronze thighs. Daniel 7's corresponding animals, lion, bear, and leopard. And these are all wrapped up together in this beast that comes out of the sea. He blasphemes and controls others for 42 months. He is, the text tells us, energized by the dragon, and he is characterized as a slanderer and blasphemer. So I conclude that as we study Daniel chapter 2, the last part of the statue is a Roman Empire. The fourth animal, beast, in Daniel chapter 7 is very unlike the previous three, as the statue's fourth part is very much unlike the others in its composition. I conclude that the fourth part of the statue, the fourth beast in Daniel chapter 7, and the beast out of the sea represent the revived Roman Empire and the world ruler, the individual, plus 10 kings over areas of rule, ruling with the beast. Now let's talk about identifying who this beast is, if we can. There have been many attempts at connecting the beast out of the sea with individuals in history. Some have connected the beast with the Catholic Church and with the Pope. Some have said that it was Judas or Nero or Hitler or Mussolini or Stalin. But if we follow the futuristic interpretation of the book of Revelation, obviously none of these interpretations is valid. Now, Revelation 17, you recall, tells us that the beast has seven heads or hills, and there are seven rulers, seven kings, and 10 horns. Let me read that again. Revelation 17:11. This calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. They are also seven kings. Again, the text does not say they are also seven kings. It simply says there are also seven kings. Are we to interpret these kings as the same as the seven hills? It's a difficult point of interpretation. Five have fallen. One is. The other is not yet, has not yet come with regard to John's time. But when he does come, he must remain for only a little while. The beast who once was and now is not is an eighth king. He belongs to the seven and is going to his destruction. So you have a series of seven with the beast being an eighth. And you have also in verse 12, now the 10 horns you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, future to John's time, but who for an hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. So that's pretty clear that these 10 kings are going to rule with the beast. They have a single intent, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. Many interpreters connect the seven hills with topography around Rome, and this view has a lot to commend it, but I would not be dogmatic in saying that. Who are the seven kings? Well, it appears these kings are historical, with five having existed before John's time, one living during John's life, and one yet to come. The beast is an eighth, we're told, on top of this series of seven. Recalling that in Scripture a king can be identified with his kingdom, here is just one fairly popular view for the identification of the kings in this sequence. Some have said that the seven kings are Egypt, that is Egypt with its king, Assyria, the empire with its king, Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar, Medo-Persia, and Cyrus the Great was the greatest head of Medo-Persia. You might know that he's in the news from time to time today because the Iranian people still revere Cyrus the Great from the 6th century BC as one of the great rulers of all time in their history. The fifth king might be Greece, but of course the first five, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece, were gone by John's time. That would fit with what the text says, five are fallen. Then you would have Rome, where the text says one is. That would be in John's day, ancient Roman Empire. One is yet to come, would be the revived Roman Empire, according to this interpretation. And then the beast, who is an eighth on top of the series of seven, he would be the final in this series. So under this view, the revived Roman Empire gains ascendancy at some time in the future, and then the beast as a person grabs power, so the empire and the beast can be distinguished here in this list of eight, although the beast in chapter 13 is sometimes the empire, sometimes an individual. And I think this view has a lot to commend it. Revelation 17 also says that there is a consortium of sorts of 10 kings that rule with the beast. They are in power for a short time. The text says just 1 hour. And they put themselves completely under the beast's control. The text says they give their power and authority to the beast. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 8 and verse 20, we have that little horn on the head of the fourth beast that appears. He arises from the 10 and uproots 3 of the 10, leaving 7. This little horn must be the beast as a person who conquers 3 of the 10 kings that are ruling with him during the 70th week of Daniel. So here's Daniel 7:8 with regard to the horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, who came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a human being and a mouth that spoke boastfully. Suggest the human interpretation of the beast in chapter 13. And then Daniel chapter 7 and verse 20 says, I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up before which 3 of them fell, the horn that looked more imposing than the others and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. Revelation 13 tells us again that the beast slash person is both a revived Roman Empire and an individual at the top of it. The 10 kings ruling with him until he, we could say, knocks off three of them, apparently each control a portion of the revived Roman Empire, which would have to be territory covered by the ancient Roman Empire. So this 10-king confederation will have to be European. Many years ago, when the European Union was established, many Bible teachers proclaimed that the 10-nation confederation was now in place. And then, of course, that would mean that the revived Roman Empire was well on its way to appearing. But I'm reluctant to make such an explicit connection. The main territory covered by the beast, however, is probably essentially Europe. We'll stop at that point and continue in this study next time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and for the things it teaches us about what is surely to happen in the future. Thank you for this lesson that we can see as we look at many scriptures talking about the beast and things related to him, that scripture interprets scripture. It's its own best interpreter, and we do well to be careful in comparing different parts of your word to understand what it means. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.